This is The View from Tab. I'm Jim Menick.
I'm John Cruz.
And I'm Mike Beats.
And we are going to continue the conversation that neither you two were in last week or whenever we did it. But Chris and I were talking about trophies and award ceremonies and that whole song and dance. And I just let me just start out by sort of recapping how we started out, which was I had written something up in my blog saying that while I like the idea of award ceremonies, I think award ceremonies are a good thing. I would say that a lot of the award ceremonies that I go to are bad things. And we just started talking about the whole song and dance. So I guess, so really the first question, which I'll pose to you two, your opinions. I wonder what John's opinion on this is going to be. Your opinions on, why don't I start with Mr. Beats? Michael, what is your opinion of award ceremonies? I mean, the need for them and so forth and so on.
When a tournament is having an award ceremony, I always make sure my kids go. Mm-hmm. When I host my own tournaments, however, I would rather not do as big of an award ceremony, but every tournament has its own award ceremony. This weekend at Berkeley, they have a huge award ceremony with all the speech events, and while Tim Case was doing the LD part, I wanted to leave, and I asked the tournament director how long would it take Tim to do his part, and he's like, oh, about 45 minutes, and I was like, oh my god. I understand why people want award ceremonies and why they're important for, the team building. But I would say that at the more the tournaments that are elite and have minimal entries per school, where they have a very hard cap per school, and they're trying to do a lot of rounds or whatever, I would say that the award ceremony is less important, because for a lot of those kids for a lot of those elite kids, the award ceremony is very secondary to them. I feel like to them, it feels like they are, they would rather be up and debating or at least prepping.
That's an interesting point. I hadn't thought of that. But, I mean, if you go to some of these tournaments, you're only going to have two or three kids there. That means those two or three kids really are just interested in the debating. And, I mean, let's face it, they're going there for quals or whatever. They're not going there as part of this kind of touchy-feely thing that I think is a good thing about awards and a good reason to go to awards and to sort of, honor everybody who was there and to build traditions and stuff like that. I mean, some of these events are just competitive. You're there. Okay, you won, you lost. Like a football game. They don't have a 7-hour award ceremony after a 2-hour football game. You have here's your trophy and pat you on the back and send you on your way. So I can appreciate that. I can see your point with that. Somebody just fell over.
That was not me. I would differ slightly with Beats, although actually probably not as much as you might – as one might think. I do think that Beats is right. The problem at the more elite tournaments with entry limits and whatnot, that there's less of a concern for award ceremonies. But I suppose, on the other hand, that I find that to be something I'm not a fan of at more elite tournaments, in the sense that I think that obviously the debating comes first in a debate tournament. But I do think that there's also a place at more elite tournaments to celebrate certain aspects of the national community. So that's something that I try to do, for example, at my own tournament. And I guess what I think should be done at those kinds of tournaments where perhaps there are entry limits or for whatever reason you don't have like the huge number of kids that warrants a touchy-feely type of award ceremony, is to have whatever kind of supportive awards you have or things like that or acknowledgments about the tournament at the front end. So in other words, you do all the pomp and circumstance before the tournament is started, but while the tab room is setting up, because that kind of does two things, at least at my tournament. It, A, keeps everyone together in one place, which I think is good for the start of the tournament when you distribute pairings and whatnot. Even in an electronic world, I think it's good to have everyone together for the start. And it also frees up your schedule later, so when you have an award ceremony that can be brief. So for all, I know I have a reputation for long award ceremonies, and deservedly so, but the way I try to do my award ceremonies is have the long stuff at the beginning, so that way once the debating has started, there's minimal interruption. So at my tournament, the the award ceremony that has the student awards is just they're just speaker awards, and it's before the elimination round starts. I don't really see a need to keep everybody sitting there to crown the champion in the end, because nobody's going to sit through that. Whereas at my tournament, where I do really believe strongly in you know, like the Bronx Achievement Awards for people who contribute to the community. I should plug here that both Mr. Menick and Mr. Beats have won that award. I think it is important for kids to be there for that, because they do need to know who's supporting the community. We also give an Alum of the Year. Stuff like that I think is good.
I want to go back and just underline something you just said, which is, I think, a really good point, which is that don't have an award ceremony at the end of a tournament.
That's bad.
Nobody is there. Mm-hmm. I mean, half the people have already gone, and for good reason. I mean, a lot of people, I sort of agree with Mike. If there's an award ceremony, I'm going to stay for it, because I think that one should.
Rude.
It's rude. It's, you know, it's really, not done. It's very bad to do that. And so you're going to stay for it. But, I mean, having it at the end, it's like, I just want to go home. We all want to go. We wanted to go home a long time ago.
Right.
Except for the two people in the final round and the three poor schmucks that have to judge it and maybe one or two other people. Everybody else really wants to go home now because we've been doing this for 2 or 3 days. Stop.
Right.
You know, and like, obviously, there's some actually, it's a 3-day tournament, maybe a different thing, but the 2-day tournament.
No, I don't think it's
the small invitational. I'm thinking some of the colleges or something. Like, I go to a college.
I guess I still don't even agree with that, because even at a college tournament, well, first off, a unified award ceremony is exceedingly painful.
Well, part of,
award ceremony that has. Let me just backtrack. One of the reasons why I also do the model that I do at Bronx Science is because there's a value to having everyone there at once, like all the kids from all the events. I understand that because I run a team that has every event, and it's cool to be there with everyone. But it's also incredibly uncool to sit through an award ceremony if you only participated in one of the events, or if that combined award ceremony is going to take like 3.5 hours.
Well, look at the ones that have speech and debate.
That's
any
what
speech
I mean.
Thing
that's,
is going
to
take
endless.
45 minutes easily.
It's endless. So I think that if you want to have the unified thing, that's what the opening assembly is for. And you could do something cool at the opening assembly that gives you that feeling without taking 3 years and putting it all at the end when everyone wants to leave. Because actually, I think there's really nothing more painful than a long award ceremony that barely anyone is at. That's really it's awkward. It's awkward
it's
for the people
awkward.
Who are actually sitting there, and I've been to.
But it's, you know, most let's say most tournaments aren't going to give you an award before the thing starts. I mean, you do that.
Sure.
You give people awards because you recognize them. Oh, I know you here. Have an award. You know, I mean, a lot of us don't operate that. So, I mean, I can't have an award ceremony, except the only award I could possibly give is the John Cruise Award. Okay. So, which, for those who don't understand, the John Cruise Award is an award I give every year at my tournament, which is awarded to John Cruise every year for no particular reason. And this year the winner is John Cruise.
Well, thanks.
Yeah.
But that's why I think an award ceremony before the out rounds begin also makes sense, because you have speaker awards and whatnot. I mean, the only events that you need to wait until the end to have an award ceremony, I guess, would be speech. That's
it. I mean, speech makes sense, but then if we're separating them, I mean, all these speech people theoretically are, in fact, involved, or their schools are involved still.
And also, here's a secret. If you separate them, speech ends way earlier than debate.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So much earlier than debate.
Yeah, I mean,
and
it's only
instead,
3 or 4
but
rounds,
they do,
maybe
but
5
these
terms, rounds.
Right. The terms that have the combined things, they have these final rounds take place like there's one round on Sunday and it takes place at 1 p.m. because they need to spread it out so it doesn't feel silly to make them wait 6 hours for the award ceremony. Like, stuff like that is just – I don't know. I think that – there, like I said, there's a value to having everyone together at once. I like the idea of community. I love it, in fact. But it isn't fair to the community when you're making everyone wait around at the end when people have flights to catch and whatnot. And I understand – I'm a big believer that you should – you know, arrange flights to respect the tournament schedule. But I also understand that when you're eliminated at a tournament, you know, I like to have my kids watch out rounds, yes, when they're eliminated, and a lot of us do as well. But there's also a desire to be done. And I understand that.
I mean, especially if you're going, you have 6 rounds and you watch a couple of out rounds, you've done your bit. I think you've done your bit. After a while, it just becomes repetitive. It's not like every round is so educational that you actually have to see every little thing. So, I think that's actually a good recommendation, that the schools that, like the colleges that have speech and debate both, could really seriously look at separating. I mean, Yale being the one I'm thinking, too bad Chris isn't here now, but Yale could certainly do that because their speech Although they seem to be plugging away during the day at the same time the debate people are. There's not a big difference, but I think if you have like maybe three break rounds or something, it might actually not be that much of a difference. Or maybe we just run LD and fast enough so that there isn't a lot of waiting around. I don't know, but if there's going to be waiting around, don't wait around. I mean, it would be the thing. Nobody should be waiting around for an award ceremony when they could be going home. There's nothing. They're not getting anything. They're not getting anything out of waiting around.
Right.
So do that. It just. I mean, when I'm having a tournament that has a hard line award ceremony and we need to coordinate all the different events, I just it's an added stress to the to the pairing process and getting ballots in and those sorts of things. And I just feel like, you know, a call needs to be made quickly if the award ceremony is just going to be scrapped at a tournament. Well, just if something comes up.
And we do this thing, I mean, now it seems to me as often as not the final round is taking place during the award ceremony, so which is a bit sort of contradictory in terms of, spiritually contradictory. We're going to honor these people, but they're not going to be here. Yeah, because, I mean, no question that the people who are in the final round probably are top speaker or close there too, so they're not going to get their speaker awards because we've waited so long. There are some problems with these things. I mean, we do that all the time, having the final during, or, you know, maybe it comes in or maybe it doesn't come in while you're having the award ceremony. I know we do that at Princeton. I remember there was a lot of waiting around at Princeton for, and I think there was for the debate rounds, that we were waiting for the debates to finish.
It, like if policy's waiting for LD or if LD's right, waiting for policy. So or
we tend to be more willing to separate like LD and policy, and they will tend to be run on their separate tracks without a lot of, you know, as compared to, for some reason, speech and debate, we have to have them all come together. So
This weekend, I mean, the reason Berkeley does it, I can see, is because, you know, like for a lot of teams, this is their big tournament. I mean, it's huge. It's huge. They break to like double octaves in speech or something like that.
Right, yeah, Harvard. The only place you see that.
It's just a humongous tournament. And, you know, for a lot of kids, and I talk about this a lot, that for a lot of kids, it's the one time they get to travel. It might be their only overnight trip or something like that. And the expectation is that they treat it almost like nationals. So to have, they sort of feel the need to have a unified award ceremony. But after the awards were done, I was, you know, Tim Case came out and said, I don't even know why I was doing the debate awards. No one was in there. I mean, and this was before quarterfinals. Hmm. So, you know, there were still people hanging out, but none of the debaters wanted to go sit in there and sit and listen to them give, you know, 13.
I mean, but first of all, one of the things, not just that we're giving an award to the kids, and we do that very, I mean, you can do that relatively quickly, but this whole, I got to thank this one, I got to thank that one, I got to, you know, and I got to go on and on and on about why we have tournaments and so forth and so on. I mean, and you can't get people to shut up. I mean, they just do this, and most tournaments, and I'm thinking now, not of those tournaments, I mean, those big tournaments certainly do it. I mean, I'm thinking like of Catnats or something like that, where there's an hour before they even get to pass the thank you. Oh, let me thank myself. Let me thank this guy. You know, let me thank my wife and my kid. I don't know. No, you know. Go home and thank them. But the little tournaments where, you know, like, you know, just a local high school tournament and it's dedicated to such and such, and then somebody will go on and ramble on for 10 or 15 minutes about something or other. And you're like, oh my God. You know, it's just, there's no sense of the audience. It's amazing how people who deal in a public speaking activity can't realize that they are speaking in public to people who aren't listening. You know, I mean, it's like, how do you not know that people are just like dying in the audience? And people don't know that they're dying in the audience, and they go on and on and on ridiculously. So, I mean, we can be much more efficient in the smaller high school tournaments, which are just as painful as the big tournaments. And the other thing, of course, I made up a list as I was doing this. It's funny how we're kind of covering this before I even looked at the list, that you know, I want to have the things, but they don't have to be at the end. And other thing I made a point of was that people might leave and just deal with it. On the other hand, if you're going to leave, don't expect me to give you your ballots, because I got other things to do that afternoon. But also spread around the things, have them at different things. So, you know, have an award ceremony for this and an award ceremony for that. The one thing that we haven't mentioned is that I absolutely hate, and this is a small high school thing, is that You know, Bronx Science JC gets the award.
Oh, this is the worst.
I mean, come on, people. You know, you can't say the name. You know, it's a, you know, it's just easy. You know, it's just, it drives me crazy. Absolutely crazy. And,
yeah, I guess, you know, the more I think about it, if you're going to run an award ceremony, you have to do it the right way. Otherwise, right. Don't bother.
Exactly. Yeah. I agree completely about that.
You have to, if you're going to run the award ceremony, you make sure everyone is there. Because otherwise, yeah. It's an embarrassment.
Right. You have to have everybody there. You have to be fast when yes. You actually have it. You don't waste people's time. So you make it fast and say, okay, here's the awards. One clap. Boom. Next one. Joe Blow. Boom. John Smith. Boom. But you get these things all kind of just move them along. And
one thing you have to do is you have to call up all the people you're going to give an award to for that given event. You have right. To say, all the Okta finalists, right. Please come.
Everybody in LD, get the hell up here. Yeah, yeah. That kind
which
of
is precisely the, why you should have the awards before.
Until you call someone's name and they walk mm-hmm. up.
Oh, the strut. Ooh, I'm coming up now. You know, no, you're here. Yeah, no strutting, because I've learned that lesson the hard way, because I would just keep, well, they learned, because I would just keep calling the names. They're falling over each other. One wants to strut, the next, wait a second, get out of my way, or not strutting fast
enough. And the
person
handing out the trophy has no mm-hmm. idea.
Yeah. Oh, you know. There's so much, like all the trophies get given out for a particular, like, okay, the Okta finals, they get taken. And then before you give the quarters, they have to resort them, you know, because they gave them all to the wrong people. Or, well, you know, I was the third speaker, you're on the fourth. You know,
this guy. That's why at my tournament, it's all speaker awards. It's a superior speaker.
Yeah, no, numbering the speaker awards is the dumbest thing ever. I mean, there's some things you shouldn't do with your awards. Numbering the speaker awards is one. Putting the year on them. I don't even put the name of the activity on them anymore, because I don't know from one year to the next if it's going to be public forum or LD, so I just say Octafinalist.
Or a public forum or Crossfire.
Yeah.
Or
yeah. Oh, Christ. Yes, yeah. So you just call here, you're an Octafinalist, and that way if I have any left over, I got them next year. Here, you're still an Octafinalist, and I don't put the... Of course, we have weather issues, so I, you know, the last... everybody learns the lesson pretty quickly about putting the years on them around here, but I don't put anything on them. I shouldn't even put... Just here's a hunk of acrylic, take it home and carve something on it when you get there and leave us out of it, would be the perfect award for me as far as I'm concerned. I'm looking at the other things here. I hate the ballot count. I don't want to know that you poor schmuck who managed to get to finals just lost in a 5-0. How does that make you feel? And I'm going to tell everybody, I just don't like that. Like, you win, you lose.
I just
in
think
second
you say
place,
Octafinalists. Yeah. From Hendrick Hudson High School, Sophie Ruff. Right, from the Harvard Westlake School,
exactly.
Ben Sprung-Kaiser. From the Bronx High School of Science, Carolyn Clendenin. And that's it. I don't understand why we need to get a recap of what just happened.
I know, they just do it over and over again. And very, very painful. Look at the other thing. Let's see. This one, nobody seems to appreciate this except me. If you have a name that's hard to pronounce, you shouldn't win an award. Okay. I say this all the time. Some people think that's really insulting, but I think it's just true. It just slows down the tournament no end. And okay, I say 20 minutes. To me, 20 minutes is the perfect length for an award ceremony. Like, more than 20 minutes, you're going to get antsy. 20 minutes, just enough to get through everything. We all sit down, we get through it. Oh, good, it's over. And then you can go on the next person.
Yeah.
It shouldn't stretch much more than
and,
that.
And the award ceremony should correspond with some time where it's, where you're doing pairings, right? Where
something else can be going on.
Yeah, some other function mm-hmm. is going on. So yeah. The people would just be waiting anyway.
Yeah. Lunch. There was a tournament, and I won't name the tournament, where they decided to serve food in the cafeteria while the awards are taking place. So everybody's like lined up for the food and pretty much walking in front of the person doing the announcements and all this kind of stuff. I said, no, this was really bad timing, but it was pretty funny.
Yes. No comments on that.
It was like, okay, that's really a little too busy on the side for this sort of stuff. But I mean, I think we're sort of, I mean, for the most part, though, I like the idea of having an award ceremony rather than just handing out the awards. And I like the idea of going. I mean, I have a lot of kids who are going to go to this tournament, and they're not going to win awards. And I think that it is good for them to participate in this ceremony of giving awards to the people who did get the awards. I think that's good for them. And I also think it's good if you got an award to get some recognition beyond just the award itself. This way, yeah. Let's face it, if you're a kid and you just debate and everybody claps for you, that's got to feel really good. You know, and why shouldn't you be allowed to feel that sense of pride and accomplishment in a public situation? How many times do you get this in your entire life, you know? So, I mean, who gets applause for anything? So, I like that. And it's sort
stand
of...
stand for the top speaker. You know. Sorry, just wanted to throw that out there.
That's very speechy. All the speeches always stand up. You know.
Stand for the first place person. That's.
And it's funny because, I mean... the species do it all the time. Debaters don't do it. I mean, it's just a matter of the culture, for whatever reason. I'm not saying you shouldn't or should. It's just remarkable because you go to, like I was at UPenn, and you know we had speech and debate mixed together. Everybody pops up like crazy, no matter who it is. The last award in every category, everybody pops up, which is sort of cool, you know. But we only do that if the speech people are there, and then they embarrass you, so you do it for everything, you know. So.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that's in this. I don't think it's that. Like I say, it's cultural. It's really not part of the debate culture. So I don't
stand for the
that
first place speaker.
No, it's not. Who the hell stands?
A lot of people
standing
stand
for the first place because they're all like running to get out the door. That's different.
No, I don't agree. Standing ovations are appropriate for champions and first speakers, but that's okay.
I don't see it happening though. I mean, maybe you're standing.
That's actually not true. I think once
really,
if some people stand and know that you stand for the first, but then everybody stands because it's just, you know, awkward if you don't. Happened to Emery.
I don't know. I've just not been my perception, but I could be wrong on this because. I try not to go to the award ceremonies.
And you whisper so through yours. So.
Well, I don't know how many tournaments I go to that have proper award ceremonies. I don't think, you know, I don't think, Valley did now that I think about it, but they make you change schools between the awards, between one round and the next.
Well, we have here. I can't think of a school. Lakeland doesn't have an award ceremony.
Bronx has one, obviously.
Bronx has seven. We sort of Monticello has one, Scarsdale has one, I have one, Newark has one. I mean, every Ridge had one. I mean, every school that we go to, they, and, you know, the regular 2-day tournaments, they all, with the exception of Lakeland, I think every single one, even our 1-day tournaments, we have a little award ceremony at the end. It's like 10 minutes tops probably, but we nonetheless have it. Of course, that's a different thing in a way because it's the only time you get back together, and they are quick. Don't thank
anybody.
Yeah,
Green Hill has one, I guess, now that I think about it.
Glen Brooks has one.
Yeah, do they?
Yes, they do. More devolved, which I think is the right approach, which is to say we don't have all the, you know, things together.
Not all the events are together, but they do it by who's in what building.
Right.
Well, that's the way it should be. I mean, you should just organize you don't have to get every, because the organization of getting everybody in one place takes forever. Get them where they are. Here, you're all here. We're going to do this now to the people who are here.
And they do it before the elims begin. They just do it for the speakers in debate. And
that may be the way to do it. Just do it for the speakers and give the rest out, because that's quick and efficient.
Yeah, you know, we started doing that at VBT.
Think about that.
And then I was like, why even do that? Why don't we just post a list of speakers?
Yeah, but then you're I like the. I want to have it. I just want to have it quickly, but I do want to have it. I feel that it's a part, again, it's part of the culture that we do have award ceremonies, and so I want to have one just because it feels right to me to have that award ceremony. Most award ceremonies should feel terrible. I mean, they're just horrible experiences. A good one, though, would be fine. I mean, one where you go in. I mean, like, well, we just had Scarsdale, for instance. Scarsdale, Joe Vaughn does the award ceremony. I go down to the award ceremony. Joe Vaughn does it, boom, 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 boom. He actually gives out a special award to honor one of their ex-debaters.
Was there. I mean, that was very tasteful. Everything was very well done
It was done. It was done efficiently and quickly. And then we went on and did some more debating, if I'm not mistaken. It was not at the end of the tournament, was it?
I don't think there are any tournaments in our area aside from the college tournaments that do it at the end.
Yeah. So, and then we did that.
Even Yale's is still early enough in the afternoon that it's not totally painful that we wait till the end. I mean, I remember
it was like 3 o'clock, but part of it is too. For us, it's not a particular.
I remember
2-hour trip to get home is not that far.
When I was in high school, Harvard had that combined award ceremony at the end, and that was the longest award ceremony known to humankind.
Yeah,
it was painful. And it was cool. It was glittery. There were a lot of things, you know, flamboyant me.
Harvard separates it by event now too, doesn't it?
But now that's right, and they've been doing that for a while, and it's good.
They just do it in the room where the finals are going to be.
Right, and it was fun because Liz Rogers and Joe Vaughn run a fairly tight ship, and I have to be honest, and I made this joke with Liz, for a moment she started reading on a 3-0 decision in a round, and I said, oh, God. And I texted Chris Palmer sitting across from me. I said, no, Liz, please don't. And then I sent Liz Rogers a text message while she was on the stage, which she didn't, I don't think, receive. But I think that it kicked in suddenly that she was doing that very inefficiently. Mm-hmm. And she reverted to the proper way of just listing everyone and then applauding and whatnot. Single claps, also a good idea for these kinds of award ceremony.
Absolutely.
That's something good from speech, because I'm pretty sure that does come from speech.
Yeah, the first time I had ever done it was at speech, and bringing that over is a really good idea. I mean, and most people do toe the line. I mean, there's always a couple of schools that try to stretch it out.
Sure.
But usually, like, Vaughn will be given stare them down.
And then I prefer the clap to the end.
Or that's also – yeah, claps at the end are also fun.
Hard to keep them quiet, some of them anyhow, but – you try claps at the end. The one clap doesn't slow you down all day. Matter of fact, it helps you get some rhythm going. Yeah.
Next time I do it, I'm going to say, next time, if anyone claps, we're going to all sit here for 1 minute.
you're like a nun, you know, in first grade. You know? I don't know if that will work or not.
Oh, it will after we have to sit there for 10 minutes. Nothing.
You really do sound like a nun from my first grade. We're going to punish everybody for that one person over there. That'll show you all. Yeah.
That's true.
Obviously works. And is there anything else on the award side that needs to be said? I think we might end up with a relatively short program because we did get started late. But is there anything else on the award side that we really need to mention? I mean, John, you're the
I'll
king
one thing
of the
I
award.
Actually really like, and it's because I'm a nerd and because I like debate history. But I actually think it is a nice touch when tournaments have a record of who won the tournament before. I think that gives – I think sort of like a institutional memory is a good thing in debate. And I think it gives the tournament like an existence of its own, for lack of a better expression. I just think that's like a cool touch. I mean, obviously not – you don't need to – certainly I don't expect people to like read the names of the champions in the beginning, but like in your program booklet or your information online, it's just neat to have that stuff saved. So I recommend that tournaments that have access to that information put that information somewhere, whether it's on their website or whatever. It's just neat.
Actually, you have the information for my tournament.
That's true.
Probably put it on my website because otherwise it's only on the can of soup.
Right. I mean, I think it's a can of fruit now. Thank
whatever the hell it is, you know, the can.
I just think that that's like a nice touch that is appreciated.
So I don't have a program.
I don't know that you have to have a program. I just think that.
But I would put it on the website.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it is a sort of. I'm certainly not you when it comes to tradition, but a little bit is nice.
You have your traditions.
I have some, but I mean,
I'm still sad by the loss of the Bump-a-Dome. Okay, you know, I like the Bump-a-Dome.
You know, it's still there. We just get to not be in it. You know, so I liked having like an auditorium. I don't have that either, so don't have a lot of things. But I would do that. I mean, but programs. Not too many places have programs. Some places have programs.
No, I know. I'm saying. I just think it's a nice touch. I think that, you know, just preserving on the website is sufficient. I think that kind of stuff is cool.
I mean, I stopped giving out anything at registration, to tell you the truth, because it's just a lot of paper no one ever looked at. And I've tried everything else, and no matter what you do, nobody pays attention to it. I mean, that seems to be the norm. Although the idea of what Mike did done with the thing of putting it on the back of the ballots, that's a good idea. I like having maps and stuff.
It decreased the stress on where do I go, what time is this, what time is this going to be, you know, what all that stuff, because you had every judge carrying that thing around. And so kids could just ask a judge, where am I supposed, you know, where is this building?
I mean, there are a couple of places that would be really good for us. Princeton is one of those. Would be really good.
Yeah, every judge becomes a help desk because they can tell you what time the next thing is. They can.
It has all the phone numbers on it.
Has
that
all the
you
phone
need
numbers
and
to
stuff
call.
Like that.
Yeah, it has everything right there. And yeah, it's it's really nice. Oh, and I'll say that if we're going to just if we're not talking about award ceremonies anymore,
yeah, I think we'd finish that.
The nice thing about the doing the Google Voice thing is that we use the same Google Voice number for now two tournaments in a row, and we're starting to get a pretty good sized database of judge phone numbers for tournament administration, so you could text people. I mean, the nice thing is we were able to text people saying, can you stay another round to judge or those sorts of things, and without having to go find them, and everyone was pretty responsive.
I had the bad habit of deleting my Google Voice messages just to get them off the screen as the new ones came in, which was silly.
Yeah,
it doesn't make sense to save them, you know.
Well, yeah, you can just archive it, and well, you can immediately create the contact right there, and then you can, and then when you just type in start typing in the name, it'll just autofill it, and
But the Google Voice thing is, I mean, forgetting the text, I mean, it's great. One thing we haven't figured out is how to do it for public forum, because there's so much information.
That's true.
It's hard enough to get it when you read the ballot and you have it right in front of you, much less side and who got how many points.
We were Brushke was using his tabbing software at the Berkeley tournament, and in policy debate, they did all online ballots. So judges just filled out the ballots right online.
I mean, that would be the only way you could do it with public forum. And unfortunately, with public forum, though, you have people who are like, you know, the parents and stuff like that, who are the least likely to even have a computer with them.
I guess public forum was doing it. But in policy debate, I mean, every single ballot was entered online. And then it was immediately, you know, after they released that data to the round, it would... After they released what was entered into the ballot, after they released that, after the next round was paired, everyone then could look online and double check to make sure the ballot was filled out correctly, and they could get their comments. All that stuff was every team could just check on their own. And I'm not sure if it was protected behind every school could only see their own comments. Or something like that, and I don't even know if they did comments, but it's a very, very cool system to have all the ballot entry online, and then
I mean, once you have the ballot entry, it doesn't matter if the person who writes the ballot does it or if it's not. I mean, you know, it's just ballot entry is ballot entry. So here's my ballot. I'll tell you, and it goes right into the computer, and we cut out the middleman completely. That sounds. We know we're going to get there soon enough, and everybody will be doing that. It's just.
Speaking of cutting the middle, I mean, speaking of a similar thing, Brushke said that he tabbed a tournament in Northridge, which is north of Los Angeles, about, you know, it's in not Los Angeles, but it's in the San Fernando Valley. He tabbed it from home, which is in Fullerton, about an hour away, because he could just tab it. I mean, he said that he just spent the afternoon with his son and daughter, and every hour and a half he would just go and see that all the ballots were in, and then
that's kind of
and then he would tap
the temptation. If that doesn't get Palmer to work on his software, nothing will.
it was just a very cool thing to just see the data just right there. Like, you don't have to enter ballots really. You just, I mean, the few people that do ballot paper ballots, you do have that available, but you know, it's very cool. And the sophistication of what he has in terms of being able to text judges, it's all built right in to his system. You just press a button right from his tabbing software saying you can just text a judge, you can text everyone in a room. Like, you could text both teams and the judge and the coaches. You could text.
So what is his software? What software is he using?
It's debateresults.com. It's the one they use in college. So he has data for everything. All the colleges use his. All the college tournaments. It's cool so that he could text everyone in a room, for example, saying, we need you to change rooms, or there's a change in judges, or, you know, something like that too. So,
make a note here.
It's very, very, very cool.
I'm going to check that out. Debateresults.com.
It's not pretty on the front end, but the back end, data interests you.
It'd be interesting to take a look at. All right, well, I'm sort of,
That's great. That's fine.
Yeah. So this is interesting. I mean, I hope enough people listen to this and pass. I mean, the idea of an award ceremony being good, we're fine with the award ceremony, but just make it good. Put it at the right place. Put it where it makes sense to put it. We're all in the tab rooms. I mean, I certainly try to get people to do things, but sometimes some places it's easier than others. Some people listen better than others.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah.
Don't require your tab room staff to do the award ceremony.
No.
Oh, I've
I never understand. I actually never understand that at tournaments. I'm like,
I don't want to do the awards. I'd much rather here. You go do it, and I'll go to something.
I'd rather be in here getting the next round started.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That's the.
Mm-hmm. Or go and I'll go home. You have the awards ceremony. See you later. Yeah, God, as simple as that. All right. Well, I shall see you guys. Well, John, I'll see you this week. We have
indeed.
We'll be back together.
Well, I'm sure that could be a topic of conversation next week. Fun novice events, but. Yeah.
That's true. Yeah,
interesting weekend. So anyway,
Okay.
Have a great evening, all.
Okay, goodbye. See you whenever. Bye.